And you know, as I look at the digital event, certainly Star Fox has shown really well, and it continues to show well. When I did go out on the floor, that there's a massive line of people wanting to play that.
What's up and welcome to N-Express, PopOptic.com's Nintendo show. I am Tim Mason. With me is, I almost said Aaron Santos. Aaron is not here today, you guys. Where is that guy?
He's on vacation.
Oh, there it is. Aaron was not willing to join us because he's on vacation. So go ahead and give him crap on the Facebook page or wherever you'd like. With us is Ricky D, though.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much to everyone who's joined our Facebook page so far. I'm, like, overwhelmed. I didn't think it would be a success, and so far it's a huge success. So
we also have Patrick Murphy with us today.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. I am a fan on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Patrick was the first person to like the page.
Excellent. That's how good this podcast is.
Speaking of Patrick and the podcast, Patrick, you have been the most recurring guest. I don't think we can call you a guest anymore. I think you are officially the sub-host.
You guys are promoting me? This is great.
Yeah, you definitely. We'll send you your business card in the mail.
Excellent.
Look out for it.
You're like the Captain Toad of N-Express. Eventually, you're going to get your own podcast, just like he got his own game.
It can happen to you, kids. If you work hard, play your cards right, you can make it in this world.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to do things a little bit differently this week. Our Nintendo Switch is not going to be weekly news so much as whatever we feel like talking about, which this week just so happens to be more Super Mario Maker, because we have had the game for over a week. We've had plenty of time to play it, create, do everything that you can do in the game, and we just had more to say about it. So why don't we go ahead and open up the discussion? Ricky, I know you had some pressing matters. What did you want Super Mario Maker to add?
I think there's a lot of things this game can add, and I think Nintendo should add it sooner than later. And I think, first of all, we talked about this briefly last week, and Tim, you're against it. I'm for it. I think we need checkpoints, and I'll tell you why. Along with checkpoints, I think we also need some sort of structure within the online mode. Like, it's all good that the same people are top ranked since the game was released, because they had the game prior to release and no one can get up to the top ranks because you need like 4,000 stars, which is crazy. But here's the thing, right? So like I created a bunch of levels, and there's one level that I purposely made super hard to do. And there's a warning. It says impossible to beat. Okay. So you go into the level, you know, it's going to be super hard to beat. I beat it. I could not beat it a second time because I don't remember how to beat it, but I did beat it at one point. The thing about my level is you have to explore the level because there is warp pipes and there's doorways to lead to different rooms and whatnot. And so the thing is, the player needs that time to actually explore the level, and it's really, really hard. And so when a player dies, they're going to have to restart again. And what happens is people get frustrated and they just move on to the next level. And I know I'm not the only person that's complaining about this, because a lot of the best levels, and I've been purposely playing, well, specifically the 8-bit impossible to beat levels. Like, I'm focusing on the 8-bit right now, and I've beaten these levels, but I've had to play them over and over and over and over again. And it's a challenge, and it's also time-consuming, because you want to explore the levels to see what these people have created. And some of the best tricks are towards the end of the levels. And the problem is, without checkpoints, it's overwhelming, because there's over a million levels uploaded within the first week alone. And so it would be great if we had the option of checkpoints. I'm not saying that you need to activate the checkpoint, but just having the option would be fantastic.
I agree. I think coming back to, especially if you designed a level maybe that you've noticed that nobody is beating, and maybe they're just passing it by because they get frustrated, you can go back and you can edit that, and you can throw in some checkpoints to sort of help people out, at least let them see what you've created, especially if you've, like some of yours, Ricky, are big levels. They're sprawling levels that go all over the place. Not necessarily that they're one long level. It's just that they go a lot of different places, and they're brutal, too, especially the Impossible Beat, the 52 Amiibo. That one is brutal.
like that level I made specifically for expert players. Like there is a warning. It says impossible to beat. But my Donkey Kong level, for example, I made 4 Donkey Kong levels. My Ultimate Prison Break is by far the best level I've made because of the things that you have to do, like the puzzles. And the thing is, a lot of people got frustrated. So I had to go back in and edit the level to make it easier for players and then re-upload the level, which itself causes a problem because I had to re-upload the level under a new name. So nobody knows it's the same level and I made it easier. But there's still no checkpoints. And so the thing is, like, if I had the checkpoint or if we had the checkpoint, I wouldn't have to re-edit the level. And I kind of feel like it's not the same now that I've edited the level. Like, I honestly personally think it's too easy. And that goes back to my second thing that I want added into the game is I think that it should be structured in a way where when you upload a level, you get to choose, is it easy, medium, or expert, or hard, or difficult, whatever way you want to phrase it, right? And so when you upload the level, you have to choose easy, medium, difficult. Take, for example, me. If I go into course mode and I want to play levels that are specifically difficult to beat, then I can choose levels that are difficult to beat, not have to go through dozens and hundreds and thousands and millions of levels to try to figure out which ones are difficult to beat and which ones aren't. Because there's sometimes I play a level and I swear to God, I finished it in like 30 seconds. I'm like, that's all good and everything, but the level wasn't very impressive. So I could have spent my time, even if it was a minute or 30 seconds, actually playing a level that I want to play.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was under the impression, correct me if I'm wrong here, I thought Nintendo said that there was going to be something that filtered difficulty levels of these things based upon completion rate. So if the percentage of people that have completed your level, if you know only 1 or 5% have completed the level, this was, I'm assuming, going to get marked as very difficult.
Yep, but the
that pertains to the 100-man, whatever it's called. When you go into the course world, click on the 100-man
Mario challenge.
Yeah, and then it'll be labeled either normal, expert, or the easy, and all the levels are somehow filtered into that. So
yeah,
depending on how clear it is, yeah.
But that has nothing to do with the levels we create. And I honestly don't think it would be very difficult because it's just giving the player the option to choose if the level's easy, difficult, and or medium.
No, they have to do that. It has to be
done. They have to. And the checkpoints, they need to put checkpoints because, I'm sorry, like, some people can complain and bitch that the levels are too hard, but some people want to play hard levels. Like, I made levels that are not too hard, and like medium, I would say. I wouldn't go so far as to say easy, and I made levels that are difficult. Like, the Ultimate Prison Break level, like, I don't know, Patrick, how far you got into it, but there's one specific part in that level where you enter a room, and when you're in the room, you're basically surrounded by walls. There's no door. There's no, like, slot that you can slip through. So the only way to get out is, and you have to figure this out, you have to jump on a trampoline, land on the Koopa, and then the Koopa shell goes flying, hits the trampoline, hits a second trampoline, a third trampoline, a fourth trampoline, and it goes all the way up a wall until it breaks the brick wall. And that's how Mario can escape. And then also if you hit the Koopa again a second time, it'll do the exact same pattern, but it'll take out the Hammer Bros in the next room. So that would make it easier to get past the next room. If you're smart enough, you could do that.
Yeah, but I did not make it that far.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And then that means you didn't make it to the next part of my stage, or maybe you did. There's one specific part of my stage where you enter a warp pipe and you're way up in the air and there's a moving platform. And you have to jump on a moving platform, and as the moving platform moves all the way across the screen to the very end, there's all kinds of like booby traps, right? But the trick is you don't move. So if you position your character on the platform dead center, you just let the platform move all the way from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, and you will not get hit. It's a trick. If you try to jump your way from platform to platform, you're never going to make it. It's impossible, right? But a lot of people never made it that far. And my nephew thought that was amazing. He's like, how did you do that? It's no different than that level that's the top-rated level right now where it's called Don't Move.
Yes.
It's sort of like that, not as complicated, but sort of like that. And I'm like, so I'm kind of like depressed. I'm like, I purchased this game that I love so much, and now, like, every time I look at it, I get depressed because either people aren't playing my levels and or they aren't actually exploring or finishing my levels because they don't add checkpoints.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that was one of the things. I played a level on the 100 Mario Challenge that had a similar end to what you're talking about, and it was fun figuring that out, that what I had to do was not do anything just for that last stage of that last part of the level. And I thought that was really clever. I couldn't make it. Their level was not nearly as tough as yours, though. It was, you know, just part of the normal difficulty, I think, 100 Mario. But it's a fun thing to include, and you want people to be able to see these things that you've done. And checkpoints would go so far, because I could really grind something out. If I have a checkpoint and I just have to tackle one of those really tough levels in stages, oh, man. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and the thing about my 52 amiibo impossible to beat level is, okay, it's super hard to beat, but the reason why I can't beat it the second time around, because I created it like a week ago, and I tried playing it yesterday with my nephews, and I thought I got to the end of the level, and it wasn't the end of the level. It's because it's a maze.
Yes.
So you have to figure out which warp pipe to enter to send you on the right route, and I could not figure out which warp pipe it is. And so the thing is, I need time to explore that level, but every time I die, I get booted back to the beginning, and it's so tough. This brings me to my third complaint. So I'm playing my levels with my nephew online so he can test out my levels, and it's super fun to watch someone play your levels. I think that's the best part of this game, right?
Agreed.
The best aspect of the game. Yeah, it's a great party game, but then I notice that the music that I uploaded into the level is not appearing in the levels when they're uploaded to the internet. So whatever music bytes or sound clips I put into my levels do not appear. They appear in edit mode, but when you upload it to the internet, for some reason, they disappear. Yeah, so last week I was complaining that it was too short. They would only allow up to 5 seconds of recording sound bites or music because, I guess, of copyright issues. But now it's even worse. Now it's like it's not even popping up online, because in my Donkey Kong level, I actually have this really cool hip-hop beat, and you can't hear it. And I looped it so it sounds like a song. It's like, thanks a lot, Nintendo. I spent like an hour doing that.
That's pretty ingenious, actually. Don't you think that's because they're not going to let you upload those sound bites because people would just fill a level with curse words?
Yeah.
Because you can record your own voice.
My friend actually tried that right away.
Yeah.
Super funny.
But the thing is, you can flag someone, I guess the word would be flag, I'm not entirely sure how you would phrase it, but you can notify Nintendo that so-and-so has used swearing and or what in their levels, and then that person gets banned.
True.
So, but what's the point in adding, like, the sound bits if you can't even use it?
I don't know. I wasn't even aware that you couldn't upload those. I assumed they went online, because there's so many weird stages online that have all these different sound effects
And so I was talking to a few of my friends, and they too are depressed because they spent so much time making these levels and no one's playing them. Because, again, the levels that are rated, top rated, like, no one's going to catch up to those people. And you know, the other problem is that no one's really rating levels. And here's the problem I have too with this game. So last week I was like raving about how much I love this game, and this week here I am so pissed off. So first of all, if I play your level and I want to comment on your level, okay, it takes like less than a second to upload a level. It takes less than a second to download a level. But it takes like a minute or two to get to Miiverse to add a comment and or to check notifications. I'm like, what's up with that? Like,
I'm so glad you brought that up. One of the things that was bugging the hell out of me every time I wanted to comment. It's like, oh, God, got to open Miiverse again. It's going to take forever.
Dude, it takes forever. And I'm like, that's why people are not rating levels and or leaving comments, because it's frustrating and it takes forever to do. So how are we ever going to catch up to those people who have been at the top of the list since the beginning? That's why I think they need to rotate things. Mm-hmm. They need to rotate that list. It should be fresh every, say, week or so. Because you don't want to play the same level, don't move, which technically you don't even play because you don't move, right? Mm-hmm. For the next year or so.
Yeah, I think maybe if they did like a best of the week, and then you can see like best of, like, you could separate it into like best of the week, best of the month, and then best so far, and like have categories that get more and more specific and stuff like that, so that people have a chance to rise up within a certain week. And then maybe they don't allow old candidates to be a part of the next week because they were the best of last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad that you mentioned don't move, because that's super cool. But like, if everyone in the community could do me a super huge favor and stop liking that level, I would love them for it, because like, I want levels that I can play and I don't play that one. So like, I respect whoever created it. It's really cool, but they just took a lot of time and made something that I can't even enjoy. Oh yeah, I was going to say, like, my big problem with that is that it's a cool level, it looks cool, but you don't even play it.
Right. And but the thing is, my problem with that level is the fact that that level was made before the game was released. Like, that guy clearly, I think he's like German or French, right? He clearly had an advanced copy of the game and uploaded it to the internet before the game was released. And he already had like thousands of like likes and stars because there wasn't so many people creating levels at the time. But when the game comes out and all of a sudden there's a million levels uploaded within the first week, how does it give like the 12-year-old kid who's a genius, but no one knows he's a genius because he created like the best level in the game so far, but you can't see it.
Yeah. That is a problem. They really have. I mean, I think, Tim, your idea of how to do that by a weekly, monthly, and then an all-time list is a great idea. Like, okay, fine. You want to see the all-time most liked stages ever. That's fine. But let's do a weekly and monthly one so that we can get some variety in there. Because there are, like Ricky, like you said, there are a ton of great stages being made. And some of them I've just run across doing the 100 Mario Challenge because that pulls from user-made stages. And there's some really cool levels that people are, like, really Mario-type levels that people are putting out there. Really fun, really enjoyable stuff.
Oh, my God. I have one more complaint. Sorry, guys. Oh. one more complaint. So I created, like, my 10 levels, and I created my 10 levels within, like, the first week. I actually uploaded my levels and my codes to our website, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, so that's week one, and I'm going to do this every week, and every week I'm going to upload, you know, not just my levels. I was going to ask you guys too, you know, do you want to put your levels on the website so people can like easily find our codes, our IDs, and then they could play them. And then, so I created this like very simple, not hard, but kind of like really cool level. Cause it's basically like a maze, but it's not like hard to play. Like anyone can beat it. And I couldn't upload it to the internet because you could only upload 10 levels.
Wait, what? Really?
Yep.
There's a 10 level cap.
So basically, my Super Mario Maker days are over, and it's only been a week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Can you pull old ones off?
And you can, but then you're pulling old ones off, and like I spent all that time creating them. So I pulled one off, but I'm like, you know, am I willing to pull the rest of the levels so soon? Like, I just created these levels.
I guess you could put them in a rotation, but oh man, that kind of defeats the purpose of this.
But Patrick, if you put them in a rotation, you have to take down the level. So when you take down a level, you lose all the info, all the stats, all the plays, all the stars, all the comments.
All the ranking. Yep. Oh man. That's brutal. I did not know that.
I'm actually going to be writing an article about this like later tonight and early tomorrow and hopefully publish it on our website tomorrow because I'm kind of like really upset.
I didn't know that. Tells you how many levels that I've actually created. I'm taking my time, and like I've got a lot of levels saved for me to play, but I'm like meticulously editing them over time so that only one of mine has made it online so far. Yeah, because like I think all mine keep getting better as soon as I like unlock something new, because I'm still taking my time. I haven't even unlocked everything. I'm taking my time and like really playing with everything and like seeing what I can do with each individual thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've learned a lot, and now I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know I could do that. Let's throw that into this level now. And it's made some really, really interesting levels that I didn't think I'd be making.
You'll have to give us your code. I'm interested in trying it out. I've rage quit a lot of Ricky's and then gone back and try them later. Like I think the ones that I beat your Dr. Mario hub, the maze like, one that you were talking about.
Those are like the first two levels I made.
Yeah. I beat one of the Donkey Kongs, and I cannot remember which one it was. There are four of them.
Okay, you know, go back and play my Donkey Kong Remastered. I think it's called Guarantee You'll Love It or something now. Okay. Because I made it easier, so yeah, try it out. But anyways, we should move on.
Yeah, we should move on. But we will make a post somewhere, maybe on the post for this podcast, where you can play our levels. Feel free to share with us some of your levels. We would love to try them out. Feel free to post them on our Facebook page or on the site itself. We will look out for those.
And just a quick note, the plan was we were supposed to create levels, and each and every single one of us is supposed to play everybody's levels and see if we can beat everyone's levels and then come back on the podcast and talk about it. The problem is Aaron's been on vacation. So when Aaron is actually the one and only person who's beaten all of my levels except for, of course, my 52 Amiibo Nightmare, Impossible to Beat Castlevania level, because that's just crazy bonkers. But we need to do this. We need to do this when Aaron gets back so we can talk about it on the show.
I'm super impressed with Aaron's name being up there. I keep seeing that like one person has completed your level, and I'm like, God, that guy is good. He's got to be really good.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a break and be right back for our main segment, a discussion of Mario Galaxy 2.
Jimmy Fallon and Selena Gomez. my princess and I'll be your toad. I'll follow behind you on Rainbow Road. Protect you from red shells wherever we go. I promise.
You'll be my toad and I'll be your peach. I'll follow behind you on Cooper Beach. I may take a shortcut, but I'll never cheat. I promise.
No one will touch us if we pick up a star. And if you spin out, you can ride in my car. And we slide together, we'll generate sparks in our wheels and our hearts. The finish line is just around the bend. I'll pause this game so our love will never end. Let's go again. The blue shell is coming, so I'll go ahead. If you hang behind, it'll hit me instead. But never look back, cause I'm down but not dead. I'll catch up to you. The finish line is just around the bend. I'll pause this game so our love will never end. Let's go again. To the mushroom cup
and the flower cup
and the star cup
and the reverse cup.
Walla 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 Luigi.
Welcome back to N Express, where we are at our main event. You guys, are you stoked for Super Mario Galaxy 2 as much as I am?
I enjoy talking about Super Mario Galaxy 2, if that's what you mean.
Wait, you don't enjoy playing it?
We can get to that. I mean, I wrote an article on the site about how I thought Super Mario Galaxy 2 was a completely unnecessary sequel.
Well, you know what? It didn't start as a sequel. It started as an expansion pack.
That's right, Super Mario 1.5, I remember.
Right, then they decided to make a sequel because they realized they had too many ideas, so it wasn't supposed to be a sequel.
You know, I see it as opposed to them having... They did have a lot of those ideas even when they were making the original Mario Galaxy, and that was why they wanted to do the expansion, but I kind of almost see Super Mario 2 as a director's cut that just includes footage that really didn't need to be in the movie in the first place. Like, I can understand why some of these levels got cut out.
Yeah.
That's my personal take on it.
I kind of agree. I want to hear what Tim has to say first.
I feel like that's fair, but there are so many new mechanics. Like, the inclusion of Yoshi alone almost makes the entire game worth it, in my opinion.
Totally agree.
And I feel like, yeah, maybe it does feel like a director's cut. I can see that and how you'd feel that way. But why would I not want even more? Quite play the same. It's not the same levels, it's new levels, so I was excited to replay them. Revisiting some of the old stuff from Galaxy was kind of fun when they did throw in, I think they have a couple of the bosses are there still, and they have like some challenge modes, so that's kind of cool. But I thought that overall it felt like its own entity, especially with Yoshi, like absolutely brilliant. I loved Yoshi. I think this is the first time that we really get to ride him in a 3D game, and that was just really cool.
There was Sunshine, but that was like, you know, we try to forget about the fact that they included Yoshi and Sunshine, because what a waste.
Did they really? I probably
he
just
was able
yeah,
to
I
barf
just...
juice at everybody. I mean, that was
that's right. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, he was in Sunshine. He was a power up in Sunshine. It wasn't just a cameo appearance, and he was totally wasted as a character. But that is my number one reason why I actually do love Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's because of the addition of Yoshi, because he's awesome, and I like the fact that he has different abilities. It's not just his long tongue that can snatch enemies and eat and swallow up Koopas and whatnot. It's the fact that he can float upwards when he inflates into sort of like a balloon. The best power-up is, and this, of course, it's my favorite level because I love horror films and haunted houses, and it's when Yoshi lights up like a light bulb, and yeah, you need to use him to find your way through the haunted castle, because if not, the platform will not appear and you'll just fall into oblivion.
Which, like, of all levels that I remember from this game, I think that one sticks with me because it was so utterly deconstructionist. You can tell it's a haunted house level, but all you're seeing is like space. And so it's a clever reminder that you're playing Galaxy. And at the same time, it's still so spooky. And you're like literally creeping around like you would in an actual haunted house because you can't see anything. Oh, it's such a good level.
I think it's my favorite level in any Mario game.
I love it. I'm right there with you.
And the thing about Yoshi is that the controls are so tight. It's so easy to maneuver, not just Mario, but even Yoshi in this game. And I just love the ability to tongue lash at objects and use his tongue as a hook. And like, I just can't get over how easy it is to control Mario using the Wii remote and the nunchucks. Like, who would have ever thought? Like, this is one of the easiest games to control a character in when it comes to any Nintendo game, period.
It's so crisp and precise. It's kind of mind-blowing. I think that this game and its predecessor deserve perfect 10s, or I guess on our scale, it would be 100%. I honestly believe that. These games are near flawless, but I can really honestly give this game that because the controls are probably the most crisp controls you're ever going to feel.
And this game is harder than the first game. And the reason why I say this is because I did not know this, but there was one point in the game, it was actually during the haunted house level. I was like, it was like, you know, 3 a.m. I'm still playing Super Mario Galaxy when I should be in bed. I'm tired. I'm careless. I die. And I died so many times, all of a sudden Rosalina pops up. And I'm like, what's up with Rosalina? What are you doing here? I don't remember you in this game. You guys know about this?
I did not. I don't think I
No,
ever...
what is this? Go on.
Okay, so in Super Mario Galaxy 2, if you are playing a level and you are having trouble beating the level and you keep dying, you'll see an image like of Rosalina. When I say image, it's like a ghostly image of Rosalina. She pops up, and if you go talk to her, she will ask you if you need help. And I was like, yeah, I need help. And I thought she was going to light the way. Oh, you know?
I totally remember this now. Sorry, yeah. I absolutely remember this.
And the computer takes over and plays the level for you.
Yep, that's right.
Which is kind of like really cool, and at the same time, like, get out of here, man. I don't need your help. But it's actually kind of a cool idea, because if you're not an advanced Super Mario player, you need to beat these levels in order to advance in the game. Otherwise, you're never going to see what comes next, right? Mm. So it gives those players an opportunity to still play those levels, because if you can't, for whatever reason, beat this level, like, you can call Rosalina to help you. Now, of course, she will only get the bronze star, but still, you will beat the level, and it will unlock the next level.
You can progress,
Have there been any like fan theories about how Rosalina possesses Mario? Because this is good stuff.
I can't remember exactly what she says, but it kind of makes sense at the time.
Yeah. So the thing with Rosalina is when she does pop up, you don't have to talk to her. And if you do talk to her, you don't have to ask her for help. Like, there's the option to say no.
Yeah, I only checked out the first like few levels, so I didn't have a problem. And I play Mario Galaxy at least once a year, so the controls are still pretty fresh with me. And I love the original Mario Galaxy. I did not see that this time, but I do remember it back when I first played this game. And Nintendo's been doing that ever since too. They did that with Super Mario 3D World, but they did it with they give you the white Tanuki suit, right?
Yeah, see, I remember that. I saw that on like the very last level of 3D World, but I don't remember that as part of this game.
Well, yeah, and I only discovered this week, but like when I originally played the game, I never saw this option because I wasn't dying repeatedly over and over. Like, I think I died like 5 or 6 times in a row.
On some of those stages. God, towards the end, some of those stages, I definitely was. I remember getting a little frustrated with that. And, you know, to this day, Mario Galaxy 2 is the only Mario, 3D Mario I have not beaten. I didn't even get to Bowser. I just kind of abandoned the game.
Well, the third Bowser battle is actually somewhat disappointing because, and I want to talk about this next, the boss battles. It's because it's the same problem I had with Super Mario 64. It's the exact same thing that you have to do. It's basically Bowser shows up. He's huge, like really effing huge. And you have to kill him the exact same way you did the previous 2 times. But I could not 100% complete this level because there's like 120 green stars, 120 bronze stars, 120 like comets. And like I was like, screw this, man. It's way too much for me.
Those comets are sometimes really, really tough too. Man.
Oh my God, that's the toughest part of Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's the comet challenges.
Mm-hmm. They were definitely the toughest part of the first one as well. Especially there's the ones where you can only be hit once and that's it. you know, and if you're fighting up certain bosses or something like that, and you can only be hit once, it gets pretty tough. You know, my big thing with Galaxy 2, I do like the Yoshi, and I thought Yoshi was handled really well. I thought he controlled really well. And a couple of the power-ups I thought were really interesting. I like the drill, and I really like the boss battle with the drill. I just didn't feel the sense of inspiration coming from the levels that I do still feel with Galaxy. And that's the reason I can keep playing Galaxy. But every time, I mean, even this time playing Galaxy 2, I just wasn't struck with the same sense of wonder and awe, or, you know, the fun that I get from playing the original Galaxy. They still feel like afterthought levels. Like, they just weren't quite, they didn't make the first cut.
I totally agree with you. Like, I do like this game. And Tim, I wouldn't go so far as to give it a perfect score, but I would give it a high score. I would give the first Mario Galaxy a perfect score.
Yes.
But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, but I think the difference between Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2 is Galaxy 1 was more of a puzzle game, and Galaxy 2 is a straight-up platformer.
It's very much a platformer. It's all about, like, it becomes very skill-based, and I think that's why it gets so hard towards the end, because it's all about perfectly landing all those jumps and everything.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, yeah, that has everything to do with it, because the thing is, because it's a straight-up platformer, and because it came so quickly right after Mario Galaxy, because it was initially an expansion pack, and because it's so similar to the original game, because it recycles elements from not only that game, but games like Mario 64 and the original Mario Brothers, like everything from music and stages, it's not as exciting to play because it doesn't feel as new and fresh as Mario Galaxy did when it came out. Because it's a platformer, like straight up platformer, not so much like a puzzle game. Like with a puzzle game, it's a puzzle, so there's always a new puzzle and a new way to solve it. With a platformer, it's all based on your skill, skill set, right? So it's like, do you know how to jump? Do you know how to do a long jump? You know, can you get through this obstacle with like your fast reflexes and speed? But what I love about this game, apart from Yoshi, is the boss battles. Because holy cow, man, we were talking about boss battles last week. This game has some of the best boss battles, and it's not Bowser. Bowser is overshadowed by his son, because Bowser Jr. is killer in this game. Like, Gobblegut? I love Gobblegut. He's like the Chinese dragon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Or Diggleg, who's, I guess, a distant relative of Megaleg, who's in the first game, who's, I think, still my favorite boss battle in any Mario game. But Diggleg is pretty cool, too. Oh, and what was the name of the dude that looks like a rhinoceros?
Man.
You know what I'm talking about? You have to turn into a rock and in order to defeat him.
Oh, I don't remember the name.
Oh, right, because you have to roll at him, right?
Yeah. Roll at him, yeah.
His name is
such a cool power. I love that.
Yeah.
I like that one, too. Yeah, that was fun.
The thing about Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, unlike the original Super Mario games, is that it's all about boss battles. So, like, in these games, there's so many bosses, but specifically Super Mario Galaxy 2, there's 21 bosses, and some of them you have to fight more than once. Like Bowser, you have to fight him 3 times. And so what I love about Super Mario Galaxy 2 is the boss battles, but I'm in total agreement with you, Patrick, that overall, the game experience and the enjoyment I have playing this game does not compare to that of Super Mario Galaxy 1.
You know, and one of the things that the Mario series, to me, has always done, and it did, even with the sequels on the NES, is it always did something new. Every single time I played a Mario game, I was almost having to relearn, you know, something that was familiar. And, it, like, you even look at the difference between Super Mario 3 and Super Mario Brothers. So it's the same system, and it's a direct sequel, but it's a totally different kind of game. And a totally different feel to the game. And then Super Mario World comes along, and I still think that had a distinct feeling from Super Mario 3. Obviously, Super Mario 64 was a huge leap ahead. Sunshine, we talked about, was not necessarily as much of a leap ahead, and that's also why it feels sort of stale. But it did try to do something new with the Flood. I don't know, I just feel like Super Mario Galaxy 2, it just was more Mario Galaxy stages, but it didn't have the flow to me of Galaxy 1.
See, and I get that. I can agree that maybe it didn't have as smooth a flow and transition to it, but I think that often we as fans are super entitled, especially within the video game industry, especially Nintendo fans. I feel like Nintendo fans are always kind of demanding stuff from Nintendo, which isn't entirely fair. And one of the things that people always seem to demand is anytime there's a game that they really like, they're like, this is so good, why would you leave this, let's just have another one of those. And Nintendo tends not to give that to people because they want them to experience something totally new and something totally fresh. And I think sometimes that this is really good. But since the transition between Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 was so quick, I think that when Nintendo was just conceded, they were just like, okay, yeah, here's more levels for Super Mario Galaxy, but we're going to add a whole bunch of new abilities, and we're going to let you play with Yoshi. I think that's huge. That's a huge fan service. And the fact that there are fewer riddles and less sense of wonder, I think makes perfect sense. We've already explored space with Mario, so we don't need as much world discovery. We just need fun in a world that we love. And I think that that's what this game gave us. I think that that's why its design is the way that it is. It's almost more straightforward. It gets straight to the point, and it's like, here's the challenging not puzzles. Here's the challenging platforming. Here are the new abilities. Go enjoy these for a while in with these cool galaxy mechanics. And that's what I really love about the game.
I want to say, in no way do I think that this is a bad game. Unlike with Sunshine, where I was more frustrated, this one, to me, I think it looks great, it plays great, and if you have a great time with it, I'm totally cool with that. And I have no problem with Nintendo putting it out either. It was just my reaction to it was kind of blah, which is just my reaction to it. That's all. That was just the time I had playing.
I think the novelty of Galaxy was one of the big draws of it, because it's
oh, yeah, it blew my mind.
It was unprecedented. It was really, really, it's such a strange concept to me still. Like, Mario's going to be in space, going to different galaxies and playing with all, like, the gravity and what other, like, just general mechanics are in that game that you don't get anywhere else outside of, like, new abilities and stuff. Just Galaxy had its own feel, which was really, really tight, smooth. Graphically, it was gorgeous. The game is great. And I think that some of that novelty probably wears off towards the sequel, because you're like, okay, yeah, we get it, we saw all of this before. But I kind of appreciate that they just were like, here's more of the same. You guys wanted it, we had more, so here it is. It's so much better than just being like, no, we'll save some of these ideas for another couple of years when we have a totally new game in mind. I'm glad that we just got some of the leftovers, even if it seems a little bit scrappier. I think that it's still such a well-designed product that there's no platformer that can really touch these Mario games.
Well, and the thing is, Patrick and I love this game. Like, all I'm saying is I would not give it a perfect rating like you would. Like, I would give it maybe, I mean, I hate giving ratings anyways, but if I had to, I would give it maybe like an 8 or 8.5, right? Instead of like the perfect 10, I would give Galaxy. I mean, the whole point of doing this show, especially when we do actually do these full reviews of video games, like, and we talk about them for like 40 minutes, is you want to mention the positives and everything you love about the game, then you want to mention sort of the things you wish they changed and or did differently, right? And the thing about Galaxy 2 is I think my issue with the game has, in the sense of where it falls into the world of popoptic.com, the website that we all write for and the website that hosts this podcast, is when we listed the 100 greatest Nintendo games of all time, Super Mario Galaxy 2 was the Mario game that hit the top 10. The one and only Mario game that hit the top 10. Now think about that.
I haven't mentioned
that. We have been spending the past 8 weeks reviewing all of the Super Mario platformers. We're going to end our marathon next week, and then we're going to have to decide what the best game is in the series. And all I'm saying is, for all of those people out there who think that Super Mario Galaxy 2 is the best and or better than the first, you're wrong. It's not. It's an amazing game, but it's not better. It's no different than, like, I'm sorry, Terminator and Terminator 2. Terminator is the best movie.
Here we go. But Terminator 2 is more fun, and I think that's where this game gets all of its credibility, and that's why people like it more. It's because, in many ways, I feel like there are a lot of great sequels in Nintendo's world. Like, Majora's Mask is so vastly different from Ocarina of Time that many people are like, yeah, this is the best Zelda game ever. But it's like, it got its attention from being so weird and different.
Yeah, but then some people don't like it because it's so weird and different.
Yeah, whereas, like, I feel like this one plays it safer, and it's just like, here's like some of the best platforming you're ever going to play ever in your entire life. And I think that's a great achievement. The fact that they just went and were like, here's a game that might be more fun to play. Like, Yoshi is so fun to use. You didn't even mention the peppers. Like, that was one of my all-time favorite parts of this game. Anytime he grabs one of those peppers and he starts sprinting, it's bonkers and it's brilliant, and I love that.
Yeah, we talked about Yoshi. Yoshi and the boss battles and the Haunted Mansion levels are the reason why I love this game. Everything else, I think, is not as good as the first one. All of the additions in this game, like the new power-ups, like the rock and Yoshi and the cloud, I think are amazing. Everything else, I think, is just not as good as the first game. That's it. It's great. It's just not as good.
Yeah, and that's what I would say. It's just not as good. And I mean that, like, even from a design perspective. It's not just a matter of feeling fresh, because I can still play Galaxy to this day and love that game. I do still play it. Like I said, I play it once a year usually, and I still love it.
And actually, I played Galaxy last week and completed it. And I started playing Super Mario Galaxy 2 this week, and I put it aside. So I can't necessarily pinpoint why, like, I have a stronger attachment even to this day to the first game. I don't know. Like, maybe if I played Galaxy 2 first and then played Galaxy afterwards, maybe by the time I got the Galaxy, I would want to be playing something different, like Metal Gear Solid or something. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that there's something to the stages of Galaxy 2 that aren't quite – they just don't – I think part of it's the exploratory aspects of the original Galaxy. You get to explore just a little bit more. And like you guys said, Mario Galaxy 2 is a little more about platforming. Yeah. So there's something about it that it just doesn't quite hit the right note. I think you and I are almost in the exact same wavelength here. Where it's
I might like Galaxy 1 more because of its novelty when it came out. It was mind-blowing. And so I, like, remembering back, it might be my favorite out of the two. Like, it's not designed as well. A lot of the levels are, it's more straightforward. It's very direct. I hate to use this word because everyone in the industry uses this word, but it is more linear. And I don't think that's a problem for this game because they were just going for, like, here is a fun time in space. Go enjoy yourself. And that's, I think, the point of this game is it wasn't supposed to be a sensation so much as more like a continuation of the exploration of space with Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I don't want to trash the game. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I think that this is a terrible game. I think this is Mario Galaxy B-sides. They're totally listenable. They're just not as good as the other side of the disc.
Well, I think we should put it up to our audience. Like, let us know what you think is the better game, because I know a lot of people that like the second one better, and I know a lot of people that like the first one better. I don't know where I stand. I don't want to discredit this game, because, like, thinking back, half the time when I think about Super Mario Galaxy, I think about this game, the sequel, more than I think about the first one, because I just had so much fun playing the second one. And so,
interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you talk about boss battles, I'm still all about Bouldergeist. Like, that guy was a blast. I love that boss.
Yeah.
And then
I like the spider from the first spider one. I know you guys brought the spider up last week, but...
Yeah, again, I love this game. I just prefer Super Mario Galaxy 1. And I think the thing is that Nintendo fixed what it needed to fix. Like, for example, the hub. A lot of people complained about the hub in the first game because it was too large. I don't understand why, but for them, it was overwhelming. It wasn't that big.
I liked the hub
in the first game. So here the overhead map is a lot simpler to navigate. It harkens back to, like, the old school Mario games, for example. So there's little things that they fixed here and there. Like, for example, what's that dude's name where in the first game you can buy power-ups? Like, well, you can buy a one-up and or the red mushroom if you give him...
Yeah, he's one of the Luma.
Yeah, the Luma. Yeah. The big stars. Luma guy. In this game, they switch it. Instead of feeding him the star bits, you feed him the coins. So because they were like, well, what's the point in having the coins in the game if the coins are useless? So in this game, the coins are actually of use because you can feed him the coins to get these additional mushrooms, whereas the star bits unlock bonus levels. You said you never finished the game. So when you when you finished it, there are so many hidden gems and Easter eggs in this game. There are additional levels, like I think there's like maybe 8, and they actually bring back some of the levels from previous games like Mario 64. And the number one thing I love about this game that I haven't yet mentioned, because I was saving it to the very end, is the fact that you can play with Luigi.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, no way. I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
And plays, like, everyone knows that Luigi has better hops than Mario, right?
Yeah.
But in this game, it makes you play so differently that it's a challenge and it's a thrill at the same time.
Yeah, he's a lot harder to control.
He's so hard to control. but it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool that you can do it. I think that's fun whenever they include
it. Because in the first game, you had to complete it, and you had to 100% complete it to play with Luigi, and then you just basically start the game over again. But in this game, you're like midway through the game, and all of a sudden you can switch to Luigi. Like you could switch to Luigi whenever you see him.
Okay. I didn't know you could do it in the first game either. I did not 100% that game, although I came pretty close. I was over 100 stars, but I couldn't.
I never played with Luigi in the first game, that's what I'm told. But in this game, you can play with Luigi. I think it's when you get to the third or fourth world. Yeah, that's when you can start playing with him.
So I think that just about does it for our discussion of Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's a ton of fun. It's a huge fan service, and that's why I love it so much. Everything about this game is just a huge call out to fans. It's definitely worth playing, and you can play it on your Wii U for super cheap right now. So if you don't have a Wii U, go buy one and then get this game for super cheap, worth all your money. And I think that's probably the best way to play the game. Am I right, guys?
I own the original, so I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, I've got the disc. So,
so do I.
I mean, it should be fine.
I don't have any reason to buy it again.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no way I was passing up, for as much as I've sounded off on the game, there was no way I was passing up another Mario Galaxy game. I had to buy it. I mean, and I kept it. I mean, you never know. I might want to play
it. Hey, man, you can still buy it. It works on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sweet. So we're going to take a break and be right back for our post-game content, a discussion of the delayed Star Fox. Welcome back to the final segment of N-Express, where we're going to talk about Star Fox Zero, its delay, and what it means for our beloved Wii U.
I don't even want to talk about this. I'm so upset.
You know, my initial reaction was probably like yours, Ricky, but I have since settled into kind of a Zen-like state, where I understand. Here's a couple of things that it opened up for me. I know that I've got Yoshi's Woolly World coming up, but the cancellation of Star Fox means I think I'm going to have enough time to play Xenoblade.
See, here's, I love that we all have total.
But mentally.
Reactions. I love everyone here has a different reaction. Because, like, Patrick was, like, kind of consoling himself. Ricky's disheartened. And I think I just shrugged. I, like, looked over. I still have Splatoon and Mario Maker. I don't give a crap that it's delayed. Honestly.
I do. I was really excited for this game. And you know what makes me sort of like upset? And we don't know the specific reason why they decided to delay the game. But is it because people were complaining about the graphics? Because I feel like I'm the only person in the planet that actually didn't care about the look of the game. Like, I actually kind of like the way the game looked. Like, I did not need the game to look like, I don't know,
I want more Bayonetta 2. Since Platinum is developing this, I want to see some crazy stuff. And Bayonetta 2 is a gorgeous game. I wanted to see that out of the new
right.
stuff.
Yeah, even busier. Yeah.
Look, we're not going to complain if the game looks better, right? But the thing is, what I'm trying to say here is my biggest concern was the gameplay. So if Nintendo delayed the game because, you know, the control systems were just a little too odd and frustrating for players, I can accept that's the reason why they want to, like, touch up on the controls. But if it's for the graphics, like, I honestly don't care. I was like, I play most of the games I play anyways are, like, you know, like Shovel Knight.
Miyamoto, he mentioned that the gameplay had a lot to do with
and
it in his statement.
I've played the game, so I feel like I can maybe state that, like, it's not intuitive. I thought I could do it well enough. Having played 64, when you are just doing the straight level progression, it's very much like that. Sure, you can look at the second screen for a better, like, pinpointing precision, but that's not necessary.
Yeah.
But then there are the points where you have to use the screen, and all of a sudden it's like this weird juggling act of targeting your enemy up on your TV and then looking down at your gamepad to actually pinpoint him and hit him. Oh. Otherwise, you're not doing damage. And that's, like, it's a little weird. That one didn't bother me nearly as much as just using, I keep calling it the chicken walker because it is a chicken walker.
Yeah.
But like the little, like, I think they just call it a walker. You turn it into a walker, which is clearly a chicken, which is clearly a Star Wars reference. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
now can I, oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, like, when you do this, the controls aren't as straightforward as you would expect. It's still like a weird, you use the right thumbstick and you can strafe with the chicken, but you kind of steer around by aiming the gamepad around. And
okay, so
you walk forward with the left stick. And so it's like, it was just kind of uncomfortable. And at no point when I was using the chicken walker was I like, oh, this is super fun. I totally get this right away. It was kind of like, oh, this is awkward to use. Am I actually going to be able to beat this boss, which is probably a really easy boss?
Okay, so the problem isn't the fact that you're using a chicken walker. It's the gameplay.
Yeah, it's just like none of it feels intuitive. I don't think anyone would pick it up and be like, oh yeah, this is the natural progression that game should have taken.
Okay, but
it's just like there's something that's not.
And that's a big.
But here's my question for you guys, and really it's a question for Nintendo. Okay, so when they first showed footage of Star Fox 2 years ago, right, at E3, the first thing that everyone said was this game's going to play awkward because we saw footage of Miyamoto holding up the screen in front of his face trying to play Star Fox, right? Why did it take Nintendo so bloody long to realize that the controls were problematic? And why did the whole entire E3 press conference revolve around opening with Star Fox and now the game is delayed? That's my major issue with this.
That's a valid point. I mean, Miyamoto's statement, he said, I mean, it's definitely centers directly on the gameplay because he says, we now believe we need a little more time to work on areas such as the unprecedented discovery that we want players to experience in the game by using two screens. And then at the end of the statement, he says again that we want to polish the game a bit more so that players will be able to more smoothly grasp the new style of play that
we're proposing. So, Tim, you have to use the two screens? It's not sort of like...
No, you have to. Like, it's forced upon you.
Because I know with the new Kirby game, my big complaint with that game is, what's the point in having a TV?
Yeah.
Oh, I so agree with you on that.
How often is that the case? Like, even Mario Kart, you can, like, use it as a mini map, so I can always see the map and stuff like that. But it's not necessary.
Yeah, exactly. But here you're saying it's necessary to use two screens.
It is absolutely necessary. But you cannot play the game. You cannot progress without the second screen.
Someone should tell Nintendo that we only have two eyeballs.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know what though? This could end up being something amazing if they get their vision right. This could be another new way to play games. And so far, for the most part, they've had some hits and misses with their weird gameplay styles. And the Kirby one, I agree. Like, the only thing wrong with the Kirby game is that I had to be looking at my gamepad the entire time, and I was missing out on gorgeous graphics up on my HDTV.
Yeah. And, like...
But I like some of their stuff that they do. I like the new sort of ways to play that they
do. No, and I absolutely... I adore my gamepad. I think it is a huge selling point, and I think that anyone that doesn't see the appeal clearly hasn't used one. That's it. Bottom line.
And there's some games that take advantage of it in cool ways.
Pikmin was brilliant. Splatoon worked so well. And now
affordable space adventures, I don't think could be done on any other.
And
format.
Now we also have Mario Maker, which is like the definition of how the gamepad should be used. But then you have a game like this where it's just really, really awkward. And then there are also missed opportunities where I feel like they should definitely have a co-op mode where one person can use the TV and one person can use the gamepad. One of you is steering your ship, and one of you is getting, like, in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and doing all the shooting. Like, how fun would that be? It could be really cool.
Yeah, like in the Nintendo Land Metro.
Yeah, thing. But they don't, so far, they haven't said anything like that. They're like, nope, it's just, you have to use both the screens, you do all the work. And it's just, it's not as satisfying, it's not as intuitive, and it just comes off as really, really awkward and difficult to use.
Oh, maybe they can actually get it working. Maybe they can get it to a point where the levels are designed in such a way where it won't feel so.
But awkward. You know what? You don't want to release a game that relies on a gamepad and then the controls are so terrible that everyone's going to have more reason to hate the gamepad.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, and they know this is a big one right here. They need to get this
but
right.
See, here's the thing, though. So a lot of people now are saying the Wii U is dead. which I feel like people have been saying
people,
that since the
people
day.
People say that every week.
Like, when it launched,
like,
they said
that. Amiibos come out and like Nintendo makes millions and they're like, well, the Wii U's dead.
Yeah.
Like, so, people don't make any sense. They need to get off.
Splatoon sold a ton. Mario Maker has sold a ton.
But here's the thing. The reason why they are saying that now it's officially dead, even though they've said this every single week since the Wii U was released, now it is officially dead because Nintendo does not have a Christmas release. And I'm like, wait a minute. Xenoblade Chronicles X?
Yeah.
Because can I ask you guys a question? How many exclusive Christmas holiday releases does Sony and Microsoft have?
Well, Sony has approximately zero right
zero.
Now.
Zero.
And yeah. Let me see. Halo comes out in October. So that means exclusives is at a whopping zero.
Zero. Exactly. So the thing is, it just brings me to the point that third-party support is saving Sony and Microsoft. Man, all I'm saying is when this NX machine comes out, if they get back third-party support, Sony, Microsoft, you better watch your backs because you guys can't even have like a game released for the Christmas holiday.
I just really hope that someone out there is listening right now and is like, oh, Tim didn't mention like Lara Croft as an Xbox exclusive, to which I would say, shut up. Like, honestly, like, I will play that game probably, but it's the same game, and it's just, like, the female version of Uncharted at this point.
It's going to be the Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes out a year earlier on Xbox, like, Wii. Mm-hmm. And people keep talking about Game of the Year, and I keep throwing out, like, yeah, but the one that's the most fun is actually Splatoon. Like, sure, it's not maybe not the best game, but it's the most fun game out there right now, so... I mean, like, you win some.
With you on that one. Like, that's a great
game. Yeah, I love that game. And it's just really funny that people are like, oh, yeah, but the Wii U can't play, like, what is everyone freaking out about all the time?
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, you can't play Metal Gear. And I'm just like, well, I can play that on my Xbox, but you can't play Splatoon on your Xbox, so sorry about it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, and you know what? Now's a good time to check out all those great Wii U games that you might have missed from before, because there are a ton of great Wii U games that are that vastly undersold. So yeah. If you never checked out the wonderful 101, go give it a shot. I can tell you, it's not for everyone, but there are people out there that love that game, and I found it to be enjoyable enough.
So we still have like Yoshi coming out. We still have Xenoblade coming out. We still have a whole bunch of 3DS games coming out. There's still indie games coming out. We were just talking about getting some before the show started.
Lots of indie games.
So I feel like the Wii U is far from dead and the year is far from over. I still have so much to enjoy out of Super Mario Maker and Splatoon both, which, like, Splatoon's still getting new content, you guys. It came out in May and it's still getting content. So that game does not seem to be dying down. I feel like when people say,
no,
like, the Wii U is dead, it's nonsense. Like, Star Fox isn't out. Zelda's not out.
Like, no. You know what I'm curious about now? I know in Japan they sold some crazy number of Super Mario Makers, but more importantly, they sold like an extra 10,000 units of the Wii U. I want to know how many extra Wii U units are going to be sold by the end of the year because of a game like Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, and honestly, if you don't own a Wii U yet and you're listening to the podcast, like, what's wrong with you? But secondly, I want to know, like, why would you not buy this when this is such a novel concept and there's no game that actually is like this? Like, sure, you can say like Minecraft, Little Big Planet, those are totally different, and this is the best like creative, like, creator game out there, I think. So the Wii U is far from dead. If anything, we should be snarkily saying to Nintendo that they could have shown us Zelda footage, because here Star Fox isn't even out until 2016. I feel like that's the ultimate reaction that anyone should have. I don't think we should be proclaiming the death of yet another Nintendo console, because I don't think we're quite there yet.
I think it's their software sales are doing just fine right now.
Awesome. And hopefully they pick up with Mario Maker and the holiday season, which I think is one of the best games of the year and definitely worth buying a new Wii U if you don't have one. If only to play this, I think it's almost justified. It's so fun.
Yeah. So just quickly, in October, we're going to be reviewing a lot of horror games, a lot of indie games, and I think next week we're going to come back and we're going to do a whole indie spotlight, because it's been far too long since we focused on indie games. And, of course, we're going to wrap up our Super Mario Marathon.
Yeah, so stick around. There's a lot to look forward to. But why don't we go ahead and state where you can find us online. Ricky, where can we find you?
Over at popoptic.com, P-O-P-O-P-T-I-Q. There's a Q at the end, people. Like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, popoptic, on Tumblr. And you can find all of my writing and podcasts over at popoptic.com.
Awesome. Patrick Murphy, our new sub-host. Where can we find you?
You can find me on the in the game section at popoptic.com and on Twitter at PS underscore porcupine.
You can also find me on the Twitters at the Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N. You can also find me in the game section of popoptic.com. I also host another podcast all about Destiny. This podcast came from the moon, also hosted by popoptic.com. So if that is your cup of tea, go ahead and drink it. Until next time, Nintendo nerds, talk to you later.
It's time for us to go now.
Affirmative, General.
All aircraft breakaway. All aircraft report. All range mode. Bill! Bill! Is that you? I can't believe it! Bill! You're okay! Check your G-diffuser system. Dang! Deploy the Landmaster. Don't relax. We're not done yet.
Don't worry, sir.
Emergency maneuvers! Get out of there! Entering Venom Air Defense Zone. Falco, where you going? Father? Chief! Can anyone take care of it? Give me Slippy's location, Rob. Here it comes. Hey, the force field is disappearing. Hold on. We're entering Venom airspace. Huh? What?
I can't leave Slippy hanging. I'll be careful. I'll check it out. I'll do my best. Andross won't have his way with me.
I'll go it alone from here. I'll take care of the bomb now. I'm gonna check out the bioweapon. I'm on it. I'm on my way. I'm sending the data to you guys. I see him up ahead. Let's rock and roll!
Early next week.